Amen. Workshop. Freedom in Christ versus liberty abuse.
All right.
Text is Galatians 5 and verse 1. Paul writes, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." There have been some misgivings about liberty and freedom. God has always had divine limits on our liberty.
Well,
being free in Christ does not mean being free to do all that you're grown enough to do. Being free in Christ does not mean you roll like you want to roll.
Well,
Paul was writing to the Galatians to correct their mistake of perverting the gospel of grace, which allowed us to be in Christ and be free from the yoke and bondage of the law. But it goes deeper than that. For the freedom that we had in Christ allowed us to make choices,
yes,
to sin or not to sin. There is nothing in the world that you should trade in for your liberty in Christ. The Galatian Gentiles in the church did not have the law. They only had their old sinful habits, in which each person became a law unto themselves to exercise the lust of their flesh. So Paul writes here to clear up this situation in the church during that time. Now, there were limits in the Garden of Eden. They were free to do all they wanted to do within God's divine limits. God never gives you complete lawlessness to do your own thing. The ASV version tells us in 1 Corinthians, the chapter is 4 and verse 17, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, who shall put you in remembrance of my ways which are in Christ, even as I teach in everywhere in every church."
All right, well,
I want to pause for a minute for station identification.
All right, well,
there is an idea we have of autonomy that you can do your own thing.
Well,
but the only thing we can do is the apostolic ways or doctrine of the church.
Well,
it should not make any difference where I go, because Paul said that my ways which are in Christ, even as I teach in everywhere in every church.
All right.
The ways of the apostle, or the doctrine of Christ, is one of the boundaries that we have on our freedom or liberty. And 1 Corinthians 4 and 6, the other boundary is set in the ASV. But most of the time we use the King James Version. But in the ASV, it points out clearly that Paul writes to the brethren there in Corinth, "Now these things, brethren, I have in a figure transformed to myself and Apollos for your sake, that is in us you might learn not to go beyond the things that are written.
All right. Amen. All right.
There are divine limits on liberty.
All right.
Now, in our text, the thematic text, where I'm going to keep this in context so it doesn't become a pretext for you to do your own thing.
All right.
See, what you have to understand is God never gives you liberty without telling you the bounds and what to do with that liberty.
It's all right.
Good point.
Uh-oh.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
The text, thematic text is this, taken from these following verses. It says, since our liberty in Christ gives us freedom from the law, don't get entangled with the yoke of bondage again, Galatians 5 and verse 1. Don't abuse your freedom for occasion to flesh and selfishness in Galatians 5 and 13a. But by love, Romans 5 and 5, which is the love that the Holy Spirit gives us when we're baptized into Christ, which puts away the idea that baptism isn't essential.
All right.
Serve one another and walk in the Spirit.
Well,
Paul had just finished his defense of the gospel with an allegory here between Isaac, the son of the free woman, and Ishmael, the son of the bond woman, Hagar. Since Christians are sons of the free woman by promise and not sons of the bond woman, the apostle exhorts the Christians at Galatia to stand fast in the liberty or freedom which Christ has made us free. Right. This liberty or freedom we have in Christ is not so much as legalism or legal rights, but as gracious privileges. When we demand rights, we then lose gratitude and thanksgiving in our religion. But when we view our religion, our freedom, as a privilege, then grace and thanksgiving can have a place in our religion. Now, there are some congregations who may bring up laws again using the sins of the flesh in 5:19 through 21. When you tell a brother or sister not to do this and to do that, not to get drunk, not to be fornicate, not to do this and not to do that, and you set these laws before them, these rules before them, it acts as though they are now under another law or a new law of Moses that you have constructed. Those sins that are cataloged there, y'all are familiar with a catalog, but those catalog of sins identify the sins of the flesh are the ones that we choose to do when we violate our liberty. You don't have to sin.
Amen.
Well,
come on, son. Amen.
You don't have to unless you want to.
Well,
the old idea that you go grow out of your sins is a lie. You say no to sin, not grow to sin. We can teach our young people that there's no power in the Holy Spirit to assist you to stop sinning.
Amen.
We have made a mockery of this repenting.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, Paul teaches, if you read Romans 6, 1 through 4, the whole idea is that Christ died one time for all time.
Well,
the idea that you buried with Christ said you died to sin one time for all time.
Well,
the idea that you repent every week is a violation of abuse of your liberty. Because now you are in charge.
Yeah. Well,
whether you want to sin or not.
That's right.
God does not remove the volition from you to make the choice of whether you're going to submit to the spirit or submit to the old sin. Many of us violate or abuse our liberty in Christ because we don't understand what liberty means. Liberty abuse is an abuse of choice. It's abuse of choice. You could have chose to come here this evening or stay home. That was a choice. But it was abuse of your liberty. Because if that new convert comes and you're not here, you have just become a stumbling block because you use your liberty in the wrong way. And if you are a leader, and you are not here, you have abused your liberty in Christ, because liberty does not give you the right of refusal, but the right of service. Now, the devil can't make you abuse the freedom you have in Christ. It is a calculated, cold-hearted choice. And the reason it's cold, because love ain't got nothing to do with it. It's all about you. It ain't about love. Paul writes here, in 5 and 13, he tells them not to permit our members to be servants of the work of flesh in 5, 19, and 21. And as an excuse, act selfishly, because if we don't serve one another with love, that means we're serving ourselves. And in making the choice to follow after the works of flesh, we act selfishly with disregard to our brother or our sister. Paul then seeks to convert, to correct this perverting of the gospel of grace that endangers the freedom we have in Christ, because we are free from, number one, the penalty of sin in Romans 6 and 23, the domination of sin in Romans 6, 11 through 14, and the yoke of bondage of trying to do a performance that we could not possibly do. And he had to avoid lawlessness by the Galatian Gentile converts. That means to us, because we are all Gentiles, we had no law.
That's right. Go ahead.
If you take the law away from us and take our freedom in Christ from us, the only choice we have is to go back to the old way we used to roll. Many Christians, young Christians, come into the church because we don't have the law of Moses. We never had any of that. We only know what we know and do what we do. Paul had a ticklish problem because he could not allow the Gentile converts to become lawless. We used to call it the antis in the old days. When I came up, there were always Church of Christ antis. That means they were a law unto themselves. They had no law. So they would blatantly do anything that they felt like they wanted to do. So Paul had to deal with that situation here. Now, the first point I want you to understand, and you'll have a copy of this, since our liberty in Christ gives us freedom, don't get entangled with the yoke of bondage. He tells them to stand fast in the liberty of Christ in Galatians 5 and verse 1. Standing fast means to stand firm, to be unmovable, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Be ye therefore steadfast, what? Unmovable, always abounding in what? The work of the Lord. For you what? No, your labor is not in vain. So The standing fast means you stand fast in grace. Because when you lose grace, the only place you have to turn to then, you do not have the assistance of the Holy Spirit. So the only thing you can do with the flesh is obey. The idea that you can get to heaven without being sanctified is crazy.
Amen.
You can't obey your own rules, so staying at home. If you set them up, you couldn't do them. So we need the assistance and the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in the Spirit and say no to sin. But you abuse your liberty by choosing not to walk in the Spirit and walk in the flesh. That's abuse.
Amen.
Because every time we step out and sin or do the work of the flesh, we grieve the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 4 and 30. Somebody feels some pain when you sin. It ain't like you sin and it feel good to you, but it doesn't feel good to God.
It's all right.
Now there are some who like to shack up, which is which is incompatible with God.
Watch out now.
Well,
y'all got the carpet. Y'all warmed up. So what you have to do is submit to God. God is not looking for anything other after you're baptized. It is a character change.
Well,
amen.
And for a character change, you have to follow the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
Paul said, don't get ensnared back trying to do a law that you couldn't keep in the first place. But we have our own law. Now, wives have their law of the house. We got to get that straightened out. Wives, you got to let your husbands assume that role. That's liberty abuse when you don't let him call the shots and spirits.
Amen.
I don't care how you divide the money, Lord. I don't care who paid the bill. But when it comes to serving the Lord, that's his job.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Don't abuse your liberty. Y'all know what I mean. Y'all know what I mean.
I got to come back and visit.
Y'all got out of whip there. I'd have run over. But the idea of being ensnared, because when you are a Gentile, you don't know any good to do. When I was in the world, I didn't know any good to do. I was doing bad, and I thought that was good. See, I didn't know until I came in Christ that my bad was bad. My good was bad, brother. If Paul allows this to happen, then the Gentile go back to their old habits of sin. So Paul is saying, stand fast. We don't need to add nothing to the gospel.
Amen.
We need to submit to the Holy Spirit. We miss out on half of it. We get baptized, we're down and done. We go down and we're done. We don't believe in being sanctified. We never get our full blessing. We go up and down, up and down. And God keeps us that way because we are in the sanctifying process to change our character so it's like Jesus. It's very simple. It's no big deal. God wants you to be like Jesus. That was his eternal purpose. His purpose wasn't for you to roll like you used to roll. Of putting money in you. His purpose was a character change to be like the Son of God. Now, the second point is, don't get ensnared. Now, the word ensnared is an interesting word because it's about a branch that they pull back, and they would cock this branch back, and when you walk by, it would wham, knock you down. That's how Satan deals with you. He sets a snare for you, and you get snared on the fact that you think that you got your liberty to do what you want to do. You don't have liberty to miss Wednesday night Bible study. I don't care who's on TV. That's not justification. I don't care if the Pistons got a Wednesday night game. You abuse your liberty because somebody is watching you. And if you're a leader, it's pitiful.
Yes, sir.
It's pitiful.
Yes, sir.
The new convert, there, they don't know what to believe. Brother, get up and tell them, oh, how I love Jesus. Come time to love Jesus on Wednesday, there ain't no show. Shouldn't be that way. That's liberty abuse.
Yes, sir.
That's liberty abuse. Now, I'm going to get here. I'm going to tell you what your liberty is. See, Paul had to tell the Christians there what their liberty meant. We, you and I have to know what our liberty means.
Amen.
We can't Americanize everything.
Amen.
See, when you tell a black person about liberty, we think about Abe Lincoln. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if you're a preacher, you be the elder. Oh, they freed the slave, not me.
No.
I'm not going into bondage to nobody.
That's right.
No, it shouldn't be that way. Paul is saying, Paul comes up with a different. Paul saying, since our liberty in Christ gives us freedom from the law, don't abuse your freedom for an occasion to follow the flesh and selfishness. If you look at verse 13a, he said, don't abuse our liberty by using it as an occasion to flesh. An occasion to flesh. Now, this word is very interesting. Occasion, it comes from a word that means like you're going to set up a military base of operation. Where you take flights on jet planes to do the works of the flesh. You're operating from there. You're looking for opportunity to sin, not opportunity to do good. And you abuse your liberty because you have the power to say no. Because 6 and 14 said you have what? Dominion over sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. When you leave here tonight, all you have to say is no to sin.
Amen.
You say no to many things.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And we know Philippians 4 and 13 says, look, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That is in the purpose. I'm right, brother God. See, not in your purpose. See, a lot of times we jump on that scripture and we say, well, anything I want to do, I can do it. No. Because when you disobey God, he opposes you. If you think you're going to be a millionaire by working overtime on Sunday, that's not in God's purpose for you to be a millionaire. You might as well come on back to church.
It's all right.
You burning up your energy. You only come with a certain amount. You don't get no more energy. You burning it up for nothing. But God has a purpose for you. And when you work in his purpose, an anointing takes place. I know y'all don't like that in church, but anointing, that means you find God's favor.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you're in God's purpose, they say, man, everything good happens for him. Why is that? Because he's in the purpose of God.
Amen.
Yes.
You got to get yourself in the purpose of God, and you do that. Paul is saying, don't abuse your liberty by going out in flesh. And the reason I said you abuse it, because then you run over to 1 John 1 and 9, and you confess your sins, and then the next week you go out and do the same thing. And then you're coming down here repenting again, and the elder don't know what to tell you. Say, hey, wait a minute, hold on.
Yes, sir.
So now it becomes a joke.
Oh, yeah.
You go out, do all your thing, come in and repent. First time, one and nine. you confess your sins, he's able to just forgive you and cleanse you from all righteousness. And that's liberty abuse. Because you don't have to go do it. But now you're trying to play God. Now there's two types of liberty abuse as far as sin. Paul talks about that in Romans 6 and 1. Which is, so we continue in sin that grace may abound? God's sake, no. Don't do that. Now that's a continuing in sin. That is talking about habitual sin. And then he goes on in 6, 1, 3, 4. He's talking about, don't you know that if you're dead to sin, how can you live any longer in it? What are you talking about? He's trying to straighten them out. And then by the time you get to 13, he said, don't sin, but that sin is occasional. See, there's people who habitually sin, and there's people who occasionally sin, and then they use the grace of God to erase it again and start all over again. And that's liberty abuse.
Yes.
That's liberty abuse. You got people every now and then, they go to the boat. We got a big casino on 94. Y'all come visit me in Kalamazoo. Make sure you close your eyes when you go through Marsh. Brother Brock, it's dangerous, Tyler. It's dangerous. The devil got it sitting right on the highway. You can turn into that thing and it's jumping and lights it on and everything over there. When you come west, make sure you just close your eyes when you go around Marshall. Don't open your eyes and get to Battle Creek, open them again so you don't get caught up. But what I'm trying to say is, there's occasional sinners, and then there's habitual sinners, but they're all liberty abusers because you don't have to do it. The devil don't have to make you do nothing.
Amen.
You got power over the devil. We walk around like we don't have no power. We walk around all
preach.
Get the devil off you. Just say no.
Amen.
Get behind me. That's what Jesus said. Say no. Get behind me. Don't abuse our liberty by continuing in sin. Romans 6, 11, 13, 14, I told you that. 6, 13. It said, but yield yourselves unto God and your members as instrument of righteousness. See, you have a choice. Liberty abuse is always a choice. You can choose to work with the devil, or you can choose to work, let God work with
you. Yes, sir.
You can choose that. But a lot of us think we can vacillate back and forth. I don't know how long the Holy Spirit is going to strive with you with that kind of foolishness, but I do know he will leave you and you won't know it. And that's why Paul says we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Over there in Philippians 2, 12, 14. But what I'm saying is that's why you walk cautiously and circumspectly.
Yes.
Because if the Spirit of God leave you, you're done. You're done. So you're always walking in a manner to please God all the time. Some of us get cocky with our sin, too. You get cocky. Elders can't talk to us. I ain't got to talk to you. Nobody talk to me. Who appointed you my spiritual advisor? I didn't want to. But we got to do better than that.
Amen.
Don't abuse your liberty. The third one is don't abuse your liberty by refusing to invoke the privilege of the stronger brother. In Romans 14 and 21, Paul said they're talking about eating and drinking. Mm-hmm. But the weaker brother, he saw something wrong with the stronger brother. Mm-hmm. Well, he's eating. We know that in Acts 10, that was a done issue. But Paul said by faith, God had approved or blessed everything that was evil. There was no law against that. But the weaker brother always just sees black and white. He does not see grace issues. He sees the do's and the don'ts. He doesn't operate by grace. So even though you are higher knowledge than an individual, you can, I'm done.
No, you ain't done. You got 5 minutes.
Just rolling it too, man.
You got 5 minutes.
Y'all get a copy of this outline, but
let's do my job.
The older brother has privilege. You have a right and liberty in Christ to speak. But you must speak all things to what? To edify.
Yes, sir.
Now, you might not like the way I look, but you can't talk about me. to treat that brother in a way that us, that we on a higher level of spiritual plane may know sayings or hard things we could say that would frustrate the grace of God. And that's what Paul is dealing with. That's what God always deals with. We should never do anything in our liberty that frustrates the grace of God in another individual. Yes. Because he may not be maturing spiritually as fast as he should.
Amen.
We cannot condemn that brother in a verbal manner. That we kill him. That we kill him. And you got people like that. You got people like that. And people come visit the church, they start talking about the one church, the person only, he just got there.
Yeah.
He just got there. We ain't got a chance to talk. When you see a person come in, don't start talking about the one church, start talking about Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If we get him in Jesus, he's going to get in the church.
Amen.
Don't talk about the church first. Talk about Jesus. But we can kill people off by what we say out of our mouth. And your liberty in that case is a right to refuse to hurt that brother when you know something. You just refuse to do it. So you have a right of refusal. That's liberty. That's the way you use that liberty as the stronger brother or the more spiritual brother. You use that liberty that way. We abuse that. We abuse that a lot of times. We kill people off. Now, I probably got 2 minutes left, but here's the third point. Since our liberty in Christ gives us freedom from the law, by love serve one another. And I wanted to deal with this one to let you know that Paul has outlined what you do with your liberty in 5 and 13b. He said, when we serve one another, but through love, and not what the world towards love. When I serve you through love, on the love that the Holy Spirit has put into my heart, in Romans 5:5, and God is love, 1 Corinthians 13:1 and following, that's the love that I serve with you with. I don't serve you with the light love in the world.
Yes.
See, people say, well, I don't like your personality. That ain't your business about my personality.
Yes.
Your business is to meet my needs with tender mercy and grace. That's your
job.
Your job is not to judge me. There are people that's different here. There are people got different personalities. There are people with strong personalities. There are quiet people who are quiet and do calculating people. There are people who like to nurture. When you start fighting in the church, you abuse your liberty because those people who like to nurture, they're going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
They see two leaders, like, they're going to leave.
Teachers.
Their personality, they'll leave.
Teachers.
They'll clear out. And you might be on red preaching, red personality, CEO type. You don't really care. There was a bunch of trouble anyway. They need to leave. You like the happy-go-lucky blue, he don't care. He said, well, hey, man, let's have some fun. Let's have a picnic. You said, wait, man, we got some serious problems here. But the problem is you have to love one another as Christ has loved us.
Amen.
You have to serve one another as like Christ served us.
Amen.
Christ counted himself of no reputation. You can't say that you're too good to serve an individual, but that's the only way you do it. The second thing you have to do is serve one another with love, with your liberty, and you want to use the second thing you do, you have to walk in the Spirit and eliminate liberty abuse. If you serve with love, one another with love, and you walk in the Spirit, then you won't do those things in 5:19 through 21. You don't point at the things in 5:19 through 21. As leaders, we have to go to the unseen and help our people grow. Because a lot of times we go to the symptoms of the problem. The preacher preach on the symptoms. But the problem is in the unseen. When you change a person, the way he deals with his spiritualness or his spirituality, when you change that, you can change the outcome that you physically see in your congregation.
Amen.
You can beat on those people till Jesus come home. Preaching the problem, but you're going to have to deal with the spiritual side to get a God-pleasing physical side. I had to cut it short. I had 5 minutes. I tell you, if you want a copy of this, Brother Crocker's going to have his time is up. Y'all been a great, great, great listeners. God bless you, and I hope you got something from liberty abuse and know what liberty abuse and what your liberty is. Your liberty is to serve and love one another and walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the laws of the flesh. Thank you.
Amen. Yes, sir.